all we're saying.
That's what they always say.
And that's why the coach said that. You know, hey, we want to beat you at full strength.
Right.
You know, we're not like we're going to say, well, you know what, let's postpone this 4 months, play it in August when you guys are healthy.
Yeah.
No, we're going to still finish you off and take the championship and walk away and have our parade. But, you know, in the back of your mind, it would have been cool if you beat everybody.
Hey, Jim Rich from Fox 9. Real quick question. I was talking to the superstar earlier. I just about had an aneurysm. The Timberwolves in front office are trying to get Moutier, the point guard that played in China, who's going to be a top four draft pick in this month's NBA draft, to come work out for the team. And they were selling him on the fact that there's a good possibility, good consideration that he will be the number one overall draft pick, saying, just think about it. You, LaVine, and Andrew Wiggins being the backcourt of this team, we could go in a long way. Flip has also said very similar things about D'Angelo Russell from Ohio State. He said things about Jahlil Okafor when it comes to the big men. But he's never really said anything about Karl-Anthony Towns. Is he smokescreening like crazy? Because he's driving me up a wall as a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. It's got to be a smokescreen, right? Because he hasn't said anything about Karl-Anthony Towns. That's the hands down, everybody consensus, number one overall draft pick in June 25th draft.
Well, I mean, he may be trying to figure out how to get other teams interested in what he has. Maybe he's looking at that big scenario where he trades Rubio, he trades the number one, and he gets some pieces back that makes his team what he wants it to be. Because he needs some veteran leadership. He has Garnett, but how many games is KG really going to play?
Yeah.
And is he going to keep going after this next season?
Mm-hmm.
I think he may be trying to drum up some interest and maybe try to push some other GM's buttons to see what they're willing to give up, saying, I'm going to take this guy. And they're probably thinking, well, that's the guy we actually wanted. And we were hoping to get him at three. You know, so maybe he cuts a deal with the Knicks or the Lakers and slides back a couple slots, gets who he wants, gets a piece, gets rid of Rubio's contract, if that's what he wants. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, run Rubio out of town, but a lot of people feel that he's already at his peak. So, and you wanted a short answer, didn't you? So I'll end it at that.
No, that's quite all right. Jim Rich from Fox 9.
I'll take any answer from you.
Yeah, all the answers. What's coming up this weekend, Sunday night, 10:35 on Fox 9 Sports Now?
Well, obviously the Twins are in town, so we'll be hanging around Target Field. As they try to beat up the Brew Crew this weekend, we'll have a reaction from Sunday's game. And we may have Sharif Floyd in studio. Or your buddy, John Sullivan, stopping by because he's got his golf tournament on Monday. And the only way he'll come on is when he needs something from me. And so this may be the time that he makes his annual visit.
There you go. Well, I mean, I think we got, hell, you got two great players there. Then if you get them either both or just one of them, I mean, Sharif Floyd, I think he really came on last year outside of some injuries, and certainly John Sullivan has held his own and become one of the better centers in the game right now. So, Jim Rich, you're also one of the best guys in the game. We will be watching you this Sunday at 10:35, Fox 9 Now, and thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you at the top of the week.
All right. Well, you know those guys are just keeping your chair warm. That is your chair. We've stenciled on the back superstar now.
Thank you very much. Just put, and spray a star on the back, little 68 somewhere on there, somewhere. I mean,
it's on the floor right where your chair goes.
And knock yourself out.
Perfect.
That's good. And I want my own dressing room, too, by the way. So that's also a star on the door. Okay?
We all want that. We don't like it when you change in the middle of the newsroom.
Thank you, Jimmy.
See you, James. Have a great weekend. Kiss your wife for us. We love her to death.
All righty, I'll definitely do that.
Wow, there you go. Hey, now, Jim Rich, off he goes. Marsh Hallberg, in he comes. That's who's next, and we're going to break it down. A little law for all you people. And don't forget, there might be an heirloom tomato mentioned, and maybe even a heavy metal band along with it. Marsh Hallberg, Criminal Defense, up next.
Try a dose of Geo and Jones. We're on weekday mornings until 8 a.m. on Minnesota Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
The Saturday night game of the week, St. Paul's Saints baseball on Sports Radio, 105 The Ticket.
Charging hard, he leaves his feet in time.
dives to make the catch.
Our broadcast start with Live from Lower Town with Ben Holson and Sean Aronson. We talk Saints, baseball, and more starting at 5 p.m. Then the Saints pregame show starts at 6:45 p.m., followed by play-by-play from Sean.
Drilled high, deep left field, well hit, way back, goodbye!
Every Saturday, Saints home game on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Look who's here. Shh, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
Say a word.
No, don't say anything.
I don't want to say a damn thing. Get in trouble.
I actually just carry that music around with me at all times. Whenever I walk in anywhere, I just play this.
You play it?
Yeah. It's a little embarrassing, like when I'm going into the bathroom or something, but people look strangely at me.
What kind of reaction are you getting most of the time? I mean, when you...
It's pretty impressive, actually. I don't want to brag or anything, but it's kind of majestic, kind of gladiator kind of sound and stuff.
It is. I saw the people sort of part and let you walk in, because it's intimidating.
When you were playing football, they should have had like a little sound speaker on your helmet. You could have played this music when you came out to snap. Wouldn't it have been awesome?
Actually, I had a moment or two like this.
You have moments all the time.
I had a moment the once where moments. I got in a fight with two guys from the Bears. One guy tackled me to the ground after he hit me, and they continued to pile on me. So I couldn't get downfield to do anything. So they had it out for me a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it might have been from a little jabber that had taken place earlier.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
But hypothetically. So, funny enough, I'm strangling one of them. I'm literally choking one out. And his buddy's trying to jump on. And I kicked him in the thigh so hard, I thought it had hyperextended his knee. And the official is saying, let him go, 68. Let him go. And I wouldn't take my arm out from around his neck. And I said, I think I got me a live wire here. And he said, let him go. So I let him up, and the other guy's on the ground now grabbing his leg. And I get up, and the crowd gives me a standing ovation, and I bow. I left two of them in the middle of the field.
This music would have been perfect right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so good.
I injured two bears at the same time. Well, I only choked one out.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, but yeah, they were cheering for me.
Yeah.
Danny was so mad he couldn't see straight. Denny Green, don't you ever do that again.
Just 15 yards and that's it, go away?
I never even got penalized.
What?
I never even got penalized because they tackled me in the middle of the field. They had it out for me. I think it was because maybe something I said before.
Just hypothetically.
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
I'm going to do that.
What do you got for us anyway, Marsh?
Well, I think I'll give you a couple updates. I thought, one, we haven't talked about the Washington Redskins litigation for a little bit. It's kind of drifted away on us.
It has. Why'd that go away?
Well, I don't know. It hasn't gone away. It's just, the media cycle we live in. If it's not something juicy and hot today, it's gone until something crazy happens. So
a
couple of things. I kind of chuckle. Are we allowed to hear? I'll point this word out here. Are we allowed to say this word here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Are we?
Just say it.
Can we say that last
bit? Hell
yes.
Ben,
can I say
no, just do it.
I don't want to get kicked
off.
Can I say that word? Not the whole word. Can I just abbreviate that word like that?
Yeah, you can say it like that.
Can
sure.
I? Okay. Just want to make sure I don't get sued or anything. So the ACLU, mm-hmm. which you think was kind of very libertarian, very mm-hmm. Whatever group, that they actually, weighed into this lawsuit, and they're mm-hmm. fighting on behalf of the Redskins, and then their blog entry they have, you're not wrong, you're just an a-hole. So we're basically, we find it disgusting what you're doing, and you are continuing to call yourself the Redskins. Having said that, although we don't think government should be the ones who mandate what you can say and, not say.
I completely get that, but it's so frustrating sometimes because the ACLU, what they stand for is completely against the Washington racist name, but yet they stand for the bigger picture, which I completely get, and I don't think that the government should have a right to say what your name is or what you can name a business or your professional sports team, but that's where we need the people, we need the groundswell, we need regular citizens to stand up and say, dude, this isn't right, and so I love that. You're not wrong, you're just an a-hole. That's just absolutely perfect.
It is.
So a couple other tweaks that have now happened is the U.S. Justice Department has stepped into the lawsuit. They've come knocking on the door and said, we weren't part of this original case. We want to step in here because we want to defend what's called the Lanham Act, L-A-N-H-A-M, Lanham Act, is the act that says that if you have a trademark that disparages people, that then it can be deemed void and it's can't have it anymore.
Mm.
This, I think, is a pretty cool argument by the Washington Redskins. One of their arguments they've come up with recently is to say, when at the point when we got this made and trademarked, which was back, what, in the 60s, 70s, whenever it would have been?
Might have been earlier than that, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Early
that
60s.
If it's racist today, it wasn't racist back then. Mm-hmm. Just like words go through changes and concepts.
Sure.
Like,
mm-hmm.
The word gay, for example, means a whole lot different than it did 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, when we trademarked it, we didn't do anything wrong. We got our trademark. The fact that society around us has changed and done different things isn't something we've done, so therefore it should be a valid trademark. And that's kind of a creative argument.
So their trademark is reinstated?
Well, no, they're just fighting it right now.
Okay.
They got new arguments. So
the case is an interesting one. The second point that you brought up, I played there for a brief time in 1989.
Did you guys ever talk about that or not?
It was a prideful name. It was a prideful tradition with the Redskins and the name.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. Revolved around the Redskins and the Cowboys and sort of that was a cool rivalry for just the obvious reason, obviously, but it was a proud thing, and it was something that Joe Gibbs brought up when this all became an issue, is that I can't see it that way because this whole town, this whole city, and anyone that I've ever been around always looked up to it as sort of a prideful way of looking at the indigenous here in this country and their name and their. He made a great point. I'm along with that in some ways. When I played there, there was nothing disrespectful about the way that name was. But the society has changed so much since then that it now is an issue, and you have to look at it.
And although it's changing, I was trying to find exact numbers. I don't have them. But again, every poll I know is subject to question mark, and what poll you have on what day can give you different numbers. But generally, the polling of this country still shows that the substantial amount of people, like 71%, still believe it's an appropriate name and it's not disparaging, that it's appropriate to have. Now, that's dropped from the 80, you know, high 80s mm-hmm. just a few mm-hmm. years ago. So there's been a real drop, like 10% drop in the... But it's still more than half the people in this country think it's an appropriate name to keep. And so they say, look, if more than half of us think it's okay, well, we're going to keep it.
I just call him the racist, Washington racist. Screw him. Marsh Albert, criminal defense. Love having you here. Another big story in the NFL, John Bolin, the son of Pat Bolin, 29-year-old son, Denver Broncos owner of Pat Bolin, been placed on indefinite leave from the team after his arrest on domestic violence charges when he was arrested Wednesday in Colorado on suspicion of third-degree assault and harassment after he was accused of pushing his girlfriend against a bathroom wall.
Right.
Bolin, obviously a candidate to take over for the team for his dad, who has Alzheimer's, one of the better owners in the NFL.
Pat Bolin.
He's been struggling for quite some time. The NFL just can't get out of their own way. And if it's not a player, it's an owner. If it's not an owner, it's somebody else. And it's just completely disgusting. So what is third degree assault and harassment? What is the difference, first, second, third degree? Is there fourth degree?
Yep, I mean, there's fifth degree.
Okay.
Yep. You got, then again, every state has its own little nuances what it calls things. But generally, like to draw it to Minnesota, we have five different levels of assault that we have. Fifth degree assault would be your least serious assault. First degree, your most serious. Part of what it's tied to, one degree is if you attack a police officer, law enforcement, whether you have a weapon or not, whether you cause injury, whether you cause substantial bodily injury. Those are the kind of differences between what's there. So third degree by them, I'm assuming, is something where they're claiming either that he had some type of weapon or perhaps that there was alleged strangulation. Real common in assault cases. People will, be pushing each other on the chest or else, and if that hand slides up from the chest under the throat, now you have strangulation or attempted strangulation. Now you got a felony, and away you go with that. So that's another way they kind of get around it.
So he could be screwed.
That's huge, and especially now, where this falls, and where the NFL has been now over the last year and a half, 2 years, for a potential NFL owner to be caught up in one of these. I mean, this could really be bad for that family.
But it's not like you can put them on the commissioner's exempt list. So what could the NFL possibly do here?
I don't know. I don't know who's running this team anyway, the Broncos, because if his dad's got Alzheimer's, what is it by committee right now or it's in trust?
I think it's within the family. I think Elway said it's still within the Bolin family.
Okay.
And I don't know what that means exactly, but it's the Bolins, and this guy is the heir apparent.
Yeah, 29 years old. You got a football team coming?
Yeah, no kidding. How about that?
And,
especially that franchise. But
I got a new bicycle once. Thinking a football team, I got a bicycle.
Marshall Hallberg Criminal Defense. Jury selection now for the double murder trial of...
Isn't that crazy?
Former New England Patriots player Aaron Hernandez. He's already convicted of murder already earlier this spring. This double murder now tentatively scheduled for December 1st in Boston. Right. Superior Court Judge Jeffrey Locke, not the punter for the Minnesota Vikings, also set a date of January 4th for the trial to begin in earnest. Hernandez convicted of a first-degree murder of the 2013 shooting death of Odin Lloyd back in April already. He's pled not guilty in both of those shootings. How many times can this guy be convicted of murder, and will they just continue to go? Because when we think of Darren Sharper, who had all these cases of rape and druggings against him, and they kind of, it seemed like they combined them all into one. Yeah. And he ended up only getting probably 9 years on good behavior.
Yeah, but the difference here is you get, you know, murder one is, you know, life without parole or the death penalty, depends which state you're in. Mm-hmm. So I think part of this is symbolic at this point. This guy does not have to be convicted of any more.
Because he's
murders.
Not getting out. Like
he's not
you said,
out anyway.
Life without parole is
right.
what he got. Because
right.
in Boston,
so,
they don't do the death penalty.
Unless you want to give him life more than once, you know.
Yeah.
But so it's a symbolic thing for the victims, everything else. They want their day in court, perhaps. And he's going, what the hell? I got no downside. I'm in prison for the rest of my life anyway, so what the heck? Just gets me out of jail for a few days, get to go in a courtroom and wear a nice suit maybe and get some different food. So let's go for it.
And that's it. That's really where his world is now.
Yep.
When you think about that, that was a $45 million contract to a player that was legit. He was here.
Well, really good.
And a guy that is now going to spend the rest of his life without parole behind bars and waiting to just wear a suit and maybe have a different meal.
And getting invited or getting involved in gang-related fights in prison already. I mean, it just...
Star, did you have players like that you'd play with? You go, if you were not so gifted an athlete, you'd be in prison somewhere? I mean, that kind of...
Oh, absolutely. No, there were some some roughnecks that I played with.
But
some of them had pretty tough backgrounds that just weren't caught.
Yeah.
And I mean, just guys on the street that were just meaner than hell and still mean, but they didn't get caught, so they found a way to get that out and to vent, to make money, and still get that aggression level out.
Yeah.
It was a pretty tough crowd, yeah.
It's my least favorite time of the week, but your guys' favorite time of the week,
it's
time for Heirloom Tomato or Rock Band.
Cue the music.
Star and I decided we just want to do like 4 hours straight of Heirloom Tomato Rock Star.
I could do it. I really could.
Everybody. So for those that know, shout outs, by the way, I got to say Taskmasters, the landscaping company, met those guys today. They're listening today, first time, I think, so they're on board.
Nice. Awesome.
Nice.
Thank you.
Just for heirloom tomatoes. Okay, so the way this works is, this is a huge one now, buddy. I got to give two names to the star. He's going to listen to those carefully, analyze them, and one of them's the name of a tomato, one of them's the name of a rock band.
Yes.
Now, I'll tell you that the rock band is a band that played from the 60s through 2009.
Woo!
And if you don't get this right, you're in big trouble, okay? Jim Morrison of the Doors called them the single most powerful band I've ever seen. And
wow.
Eric Clapton has said this band was the originators of heavy metal. So if you get this wrong, you are like your dog meat, okay?
Jeez.
Okay, so you have two names.
Wow.
You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Early Girl.
Okay. I know this one already.
And Blue Cheer. Early Girl and
Blue Cheer.
Which one of those is a tomato? Early Girl, Blue Cheer.
Well, neither name is... nothing really rings the bell
names,
for me. But
me either. I mean, yeah. I thought, geez, Clapton and The Doors, and I haven't even heard of this band.
Morrison,
Early Girl, Blue Cheer.
Blue Cheer is the tomato.
Blue Cheer is the tomato. That is your answer?
Yes.
Blue Cheer
incorrect.
Is a rock band that was named after a variety of LSD back in the 60s that was named after Cheer detergent.
Doesn't surprise me. I planted Early Girls in my garden last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Early Girls, because they come up early.
So you heard the heirloom tomato name first, and you said, I already know.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Star, we already have next week's picked out for you already at the office.
My God.
They have so much fun. Marsh Hallberg, Criminal Defense, thanks for coming down to the office.
It's
Washington.
Rocks in this place.
Thanks for taking
place.
Part in the Coors Light drink specials. Woo-hoo. Leave some for everybody else. Free parking in the back.
One left.
We love...
I'm five and six now.
We love the Office Pub and Grill, but we got to go. We're running over time. Mike Berardino. Crusty Mike Berardino.
We're going to stay right with this. No, we're not.
Radioactive Sports on 105 The Ticket.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for third.
It's time for racing at the Tricky Triangle, Pocono Raceway, with the Exalta We Paint Winners 400. Tune in NASCAR Sprint Cup Sunday at 11 a.m.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in the head of here, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him leading the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, but Joe doing it on his own.
And the throw gets into left field. Dozier will score. And Minnesota takes the lead for the first time today.
Joe Mauer running on his own. Swihart comes out and throws a P to Sandoval, and the ball got through him. Sandoval should have caught, and Dozier scores the fifth run.
You got to understand. I mean, if you're ready to get into a game and play, wow, just go ahead and cut the music.
Yeah,
okay?
Just go ahead
and cut that music out. I'm sure that's probably exactly what Mike. Are we even on? I mean, I feel like I've been cut off completely. Mike Berardino, wow. I'm hoping is standing by, but that music sure did go off fast. I have no idea who's got the skills back at the house, but
I'm here.
Mike, you're
Mike.
There. My word.
Berardino.
What'd you think of the music there? Did you enjoy your intro?
We heard a little center field there. Is that what that was?
I think it was little John Fogerty.
That's fine. I like that. But that's not the approved sanctioned music for this segment, no.
Oh. Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
I don't think anybody ever asked you, Mike Berardino, but this is Hardball.
Hey, now.
This is Hardball, brought to you by Nature's Fury NutriDrink. Vitamins have never, ever in my life tasted this refreshing. Heck of an ending to the game yesterday down there in Boston, or up and over there, I guess, in Boston. The game was tied at 4 apiece. Joe Mauer, you wrote in your article today at TwinCities.com in the Pioneer Press, kind of looked down to the third base coach, Gene Glynn, and looked back and... Then look back again, was kind of blinking like, are you serious? You want me to bunt? Mauer bunting? There's a runner on first and second. He does bunt. Dozier's on second. He is not a very good bunt. And then the catcher for the Boston Red Sox ends up throwing it to the Panda, Pablo Sandoval, at third base. But Pablo couldn't hold on to the ball. Dozier's coming around third, and Gene waves him in. And just like that, they're up 5-4, and they went on to score four more runs in that inning.
Ben, that's exactly what happened. I couldn't say it better myself.
Thank you. I'm just reciting what you wrote at TwinCities.com.
You too. I want you to stop right now.
But I want you to talk more about that, because obviously you were at the game. You cover the game. You're the baseball guy. That's why we have you on. So then what happened after that, Mike Berardino? I'll talk really softly and nicely.
I want you two to get along now.
Kind of having a bad day. Do you have a pine cone up your rear?
No.
Jeez. Jeez.
Well, wow. A number of things happened, and all pretty much good for the Twins to get out of there with a sweep.
A split.
Yeah. Today's travel day. Very tired. But 2-2 split there, and a 5-2 season series against the Red Sox, who, even though they're not playing well, and boy, are they getting pounded in Boston. The radio shows there, post-game radio for Red Sox games is hilarious because they're basically suggesting they trade everyone. And even John Henry, the owner, came out on Tuesday and met with the media, which he doesn't do a lot anymore, and he said they were playing like bleep and it had to change. And they were put on notice. They were totally put on notice, and they have all that talent. They spent $187 million on that team, and they can't pitch very well, and the Twins split with them. So I think they felt pretty good about that. The Twins are in a stretch here of 16 games in a row against losing teams currently losing records, and they're 12. They're 9-4. They have a chance to finish 12-4 if they could sweep the Brewers, which I think is possible.
Gee, they're playing good.
Look at those Brewers fans over there. Do you remember, Mike? They're Brewer fans here at the office, by the way, Pub and Grill. Keep it down over there, drunkards.
Enough.
Do you want to tell them what you call them? Tell them what you call the Brewers.
Well, the way it was written on the script yesterday was The Boner Hungry.
Dirty, disgusting Boner Hungry Brewers.
That's what it was. I had to read what was on the paper, and that's just exactly what was on the paper. I read what I'm told to read.
That's the thing with Target Field, though, and Mike Berardino, you know this. When the Brewers come to town, it's full of Brewers people. Yeah, it's hard to get a ticket because these people come out. They're like the illegal immigrants that are popping over the border down in the south part of the United States, in Texas and Arizona. You guys are probably here to drop an anchor, baby, aren't you? Taking our jobs and dropping anchor babies so you can gain citizenship in Minnesota? That's what they do.
We like to stir stuff up around here.
It's all right.
That's what we do. But I would say this. I can't believe this Twins team is being talked about, especially with people like Mike Berardino, the way he talks about them. He expects or is thinking that it is likely or a possibility they could sweep the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't think that would have been even a close to you making that statement at the beginning of the year.
But the Brewers have one of the worst records in Major League Baseball right
still,
now.
Still, at the beginning of the year, I don't know if Mike Berardino would have said something like that.
I don't know if I would have even thought about the Brewers because they're in the other league. But the thing about the Twins that I think is really revealing itself series by series is that this is one of those sports teams that is the whole is greater than, like, if you added up all the parts, the sum of the parts. The whole is greater. So what I'm telling you is, you walk in a clubhouse there, you looked around, 25 guys, and you say, well, you know, this feels, well, this shouldn't be, this isn't a first place, this is not first place talent, and you're necessarily, that's false. Because they are in first place, and it's a third of the way through the season. Tonight is the one-third point, if that's official, and there's one-third for them. And they feel really good about things. They've had adversity, and they continue to win. They've had downturns offensively and defensively for some key people. They continue to win. They've had pretty much no one go completely crazy in any area of the team and play at such a level you say that's unsustainable individually. They have nobody doing that. So when these people come along, and the stat people who are so good at breaking everything down like a stock and saying, well, this team is undervalued, this team's overvalued, everybody's saying the Twins are overvalued, but show me where the individual is playing at an unsustainable level, because I don't see that.
It's incredible. I mean, it's for me at least, the way they came on and have managed to maintain this is more of who they are. I mean, the team is what they are right now, and it's I don't think they're going to deviate much from that all year long. Maybe a little bit up and back a little bit, but I think this is who they are, and I think the Molitor has something in place that has stuck, that has been significant for all these guys collectively as a team. And I think they have a new sheriff in town that has a grip on this thing. I do.
Well, and the other thing, guys, and we're going to keep bringing this up, I'm sure, and teams around baseball and certainly within the American League Central are aware that what you see now is not necessarily what you're going to have to compete against in August and September. We know the names.
Mm-hmm.
And If they continue, right now they're on a 98-win pace. They win tonight, they're on a 99-win pace. That's ridiculous. And then you're telling me that you might be able to pop in a Miguel Sano, who has missed four of the last seven games down at AA with an index finger thing. It's minor, I'm told, but, you know, you look at who they're running out there at DH. Guys like Eduardo Escobar at times, Eduardo Nunez, they rotate the DH thing. They use it as a rest day for Torrey, sometimes a rest day for Mauer. I could get into Miguel Sano DHing in August and September. I think the fans would like to see that, and that's game-changing. If Buxton, I don't know that you need Buxton right now because Aaron Hicks is playing so well, but let's say he were inserted in the mix and they move people around, whatever, that's game-changing. And then if they wanted to really get crazy and bring up Jose Berríos and give him starts in August and September, that's not what the Royals and Tigers want to hear.
Of course not.
Of course not.
It's an interesting situation with the Minnesota Twins. We're talking Twins baseball with Mike Berardino, Pioneer Press, and TwinCities.com. As the superstar and I are broadcasting live from the Office Pub and Grill on the corner of Washington and 3rd, literally just steps away from Gate 3 at Target Field. The Twins hosting those dirty, rotten Milwaukee Brewers tonight. First of three games over the weekend, 7:10 first pitch tonight. But J.R. Graham starting tomorrow for the Minnesota Twins because, as the Twins do in interesting fashion, with Ricky Nolasco now on the disabled list, they're short on pitching, obviously, it seems like. So does that mean Tommy Malone, after yesterday's game, is up here for a while?
Yes. This is just logistics. They do have an off day coming up on Thursday, and they'll be able to reset things. But J.R. Graham, like we said yesterday, he's made 61 starts in the minors, and they're just looking for 70 to 75 pitches out of him. He's already given them 3 quality innings on 2 different occasions in his last 2 outings, once in Pittsburgh, once at home. I don't think this is unreasonable to ask of him to hold down the Brewers tomorrow against Matt Garza. So, and then maybe you get 5 innings out of him, and then you go with the rest of the bullpen. They have 50 people out there in that bullpen. So they're fairly well rested coming out of Fenway, which is unusual. Trevor May's fine start had a lot to do with that. Tommy Malone takes that rotation spot of Nolasco for the time being, and they're going to try a cortisone shot, it sounds like, with Nolasco. Maybe that'll speed up the plan. I don't know how many of those Mike had, but
too many.
I think there's a short-term benefit. I don't know how long that would make it hold up.
Yeah, actually, if he rests it, I mean, if they put it in, they let it work for a couple days, it can take care of the whole thing, the whole issue. It depends on what level of inflammation he's at right now. But and the new stuff, the new cortisone is much, much better than the old floating, free-floating cortisone that used to stay in your body for life. They said it never really dissipates. That's in your body.
I thought it was interesting because Paul Molitor today said that he has had probably over 100 cortisone shots in his professional career.
I've had 30 or 40.
He said after 80, they don't really continue to do the work that you want them to do.
True.
But back to J.R. Graham, who's the twin starter for tomorrow's game, 1-10 start against the Milwaukee Brewers. My question for you, Mike Berardino, how often do guys turn out as well as J.R. Graham has for the Twins coming out of that Rule 5 draft?
Not very often. A lot of them are sent back. A lot of them aren't good enough to make it, but the Twins have had good luck. As you know, Johan Santana, Roberto Clemente long ago was a Rule 5 guy. There have been real finds there. Dan Uggla was a Rule 5 guy of the Marlins. It's interesting how he's progressed, because J.R. Graham was the guy that they popped in there the first week, and he hit Alex Rios and broke his hand. It took Rios till just last week to come back, and everybody was saying, oh, he shouldn't even be allowed on a major league mound. He's not ready. And then slowly but surely he started to adjust, and he got every time he's used sparingly, but when he's pitched, he's looked good. He's got really good stuff. He's able to hit 96, 97 on the gun, and he's got secondary pitches, and he's got a real competitive fire. He's a little guy, but you don't mess with him. And I'm looking forward to watching him pitch.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
That sounds fun. It really does.
Who's starting Sunday? I'm going to the game Sunday.
It's Pelfrey. Mike Pelfrey, number 5 on your AL ERA leader list. Yep. So they're, the Twins are running out guys who are 5th and tied for 6th, I believe, in Gibson on the AL top 10 ERA, which is that's pretty stout. And those are 2 guys, when I said what I said before about people, show me somebody who can't sustain it. Well, there are doubters out there who say they don't strike anybody out, so they can't keep doing this. But they have done it. It's 1/3 into the season. When it's not April 20th, it's June whatever, and here they are. So June 5th, they feel good about it. There are reasons. It's not just the same old stuff that's thrown out there. There are things that they have tweaked about how they go about their game that have made them more successful. Up and down the line, guys are doing that. And again, nobody really just outperforming their history.
Must be a delight to you to be able to cover this team with all this going on and some of these different changes and these moves panning out for the better, to be able to cover them every day. I'm sure you're having a better time than you have over the last 2 or 3 years. So
I know we are.
I would hope so.
We are, too. And Mike Berardino's in just a great mood. But it just,
It's a sheer delight.
It is, isn't it?
Sheer delight.
It has to be. It has to be a better mood, a better setting to be able to walk into that locker room and have it. Winning takes care of all of that. So it's it must be a real delight.
They play music after losses, too. That's a Tory thing, and I think that's significant. I think that's going to stay all year. So, they are sending the message that even if you beat us today, we still think we're going to beat you tomorrow. That's what winning teams have to believe, and Minnesota Twins are a winning team right now.
Jeez, no kidding. Mike Berardino, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
There you go. Mike Berardino, hardball, and he... life must be different for him. Outside of being just totally miserable, he has a moment or two in the sun now where he can at least cover the team that's doing well, and it's been a long time coming. Next up, we have Johnny Love, who is a horse handicapper for the Star Tribune. American Pharoah goes for the triple crown at the 147th Belmont.
That'll be fun to watch tomorrow, too.
This weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll talk with him right here at Radioactive Sports next.
This is Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I think he can. He will. He is ready. He's breathing fire.
Breathing.
He looks really, really healthy. The most important thing after winning the Derby and the Preakness is how they're carrying their weight. Their condition, is it wear and tear coming on? And he doesn't give us any sign. He's actually a very happy horse, and that's what makes us really excited.
Wait, whoa, now just a minute.
He's breathing fire.
That was American Pharoah owner, I believe it's Ahmed Zayat, on the horse.
Ahmed Zayat.
And he was talking about his horse breathing fire.
Well, breathing.
That is not...
He's breathing fire.
Well, he can't be a horse. He's a dragon, then.
Oh, okay. You might want to test him for PEDs if that's the case.
Yeah, you might want to make sure of that. But I would imagine after this much racing, and of course the two big ones in front of this, the Preakness and the Kentucky Derby, I would think that, yes, there's some wear and tear involved for these animals. And here's the biggest one and, the greatest distance. And just to ask that question alone, I would bring in Johnny Love, a horse race handicapper from the Star Tribune, and that's what he does. Tell me, Johnny, is this the longest one of the three?
Yeah, it's a mile and a half.
Okay. So it's and does this horse have a chance? I mean, or what do you think the field is?
Of course he has a chance.
But I mean a legit chance of winning the whole thing.
Yeah, my article's online already, and I picked him to win. And last year we had California Chrome going for the Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. I wasn't high on him at all. 2005, we had Big Brown. I wasn't too high on him, but I think this is a special horse. I kind of talked about that before the Preakness. And this is the only horse that I really liked before the Kentucky Derby. I said, if this horse wins, this is the only horse that has a chance to win the Triple Crown.
Wow, that's interesting. Johnny Love, my question for you, because as we've talked before, I love watching the Triple Crown, and anytime there's a Triple Crown possibility, 13 horses have been in that position to sweep all three races following wins at the Kentucky Derby and Preakness since 1978, the last time we actually had a Triple Crown winner. But for me as a novice, as a guy that only really watches, I love the Kentucky Derby, and then if I watch the Preakness, and if the same horse wins, then obviously I'm in on the Belmont. But... to me, it doesn't seem, and obviously you're the expert, but to me it doesn't seem like this horse is as strong as those horses that you've said before. Why is this horse so special?
There's a lot to that, but I think that the way he's been training, and it's not just that, he's won five races in the last 12 weeks, right? That says a lot right there. And he's been going up against new shooters, as he will on tomorrow. And every opponent in tomorrow's race, he has beaten already by large margins. So, I mean, he does have the edge in that department, but, he has a lot of things going against him. I mean, just stats and trends alone. But I think I talked about last time that I was on that there's a trainer, a well-known clocker in California said this is the best horse he's seen in 36 years. I mean, that says a lot right there.
That's a big
statement. This horse actually reminds me of Seattle Slough, who won in 1977. This is the same type of horse. And something to get excited about. It's just like guys like you, Ben, that who are novice fans. This is going to have a large audience tomorrow. Whether you watch horse racing or not, it's going to bring a lot of new people into it.
Johnny, how many horses are in the race in the field tomorrow?
Eight,
okay.
Which doesn't seem like a lot. And American Pharoah's position at the fifth post, the fifth gate, is pretty desirable, right? I mean, he has every chance, everything that could possibly go into helping him win, he has all of that on his side.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'll try to set the race up. I'm not going to say he's a lock. You know, I read about in the paper. This is why I like him. He's a strong choice to win. He'll probably go off at 2-5. It's 3-5 morning line, but after all the souvenir $2 bets come in, there'll be millions of them. They'll probably drop down to 2-5. He's going to take the lead. Whether he gets challenged or not early, I don't think he is. I know, he's going to be all the way to the last furlong. He's going to have the lead. It's whether he can make the last eighth or not, that's where it's going to come in. If you see like a 46-something, 46 and change, half mile, that's pretty quick for that distance, then I would start worrying. If he can get a simple lead and kind of, you know, have his composure and relax and, mm-hmm. and just relax. It's a deep standing dirt surface, which could tire him out. But if he doesn't get pushed, I think he's going to control his own destiny. Comes to the last eighth of a mile, if no one's close, I think he could win by a lot tomorrow.
Unbelievable.
How exciting is tomorrow going to be, my God?
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's been such a long time. Was the Preakness the kind of race that really challenged this horse, or was it? They said it wasn't much in the way of being a challenging field for this horse. Is that true?
Well, it's kind of true. You know, the funny thing about that race, Mike, is I really liked him because it was a shorter race, and there was some pressure from a horse named Mr. Z.
Okay.
And I don't know if you guys watched the Preakness, but it just poured. It was a big storm that just came through. It was like a hurricane came through. Well, he's a mud specialist, right? He's a mud freak. When that happened, to be honest, I put another $200 down before.
Wow, really?
Post because I knew he was going to win.
He's a mudder.
Yeah. And the same thing could happen tomorrow. There's a strong chance of rain. If it rains, that just increases his chance of pulling away from the field.
Jeez, really?
Wow. Amazing. I had no idea, and obviously Johnny Love is who we're talking to, the horse handicapper for the Star Tribune, talking about tomorrow's Triple Crown race with American Pharoah at the Belmont Stakes. I love what Ahmed Zayat said, something that I wholeheartedly agree with. He wants to win the Triple Crown for the sport because basically it's a sport without any stars is not a sport, and there aren't any stars in horse racing for novice guys like me. When you think of people that don't necessarily know golf, everybody knows Tiger Woods, or people that don't necessarily know basketball, they know LeBron James or Kobe Bryant. What happens to this horse, American Pharoah, after he wins, if he does win the Triple Crown? Does he continue to race? Do they just send him out to the field to have sex with other horses to create babies? Horse sex, you know, everybody loves horse sex. It's fantastic.
I love it.
So what happens to the Triple Crown winner if he does indeed win tomorrow at the Belmont Stakes?
You know, I think he'll be rested for a while, to be honest. They're a controversial group, let's put it that way.
Why do you say that?
You're laughing, too. Why are you laughing while you're saying it?
Because there was a lawsuit brought against him. It was dropped. He owed $1.65 million in gambling debts and late on payments and stuff. It's a long story that the New York Times wrote. With that said, I could see him racing in the Breeders' Cup. I don't think they're going to hold him back. I think they like the limelight. I'm not talking bad about him. I do think they're good about horse racing tonight. I think they're good for the sport. I think this could bring a lot. I was 11 when Secretariat won. You know, and I remember my parents screaming when he won the Belmont by 31 lengths because it was 25 years before that. It was 1948. We're kind of in the same boat, except longer.
I guess so. Yeah, it's longer, though, yeah.
This is history. This is really history. And guys like me are big-time horse players. This is big. This is really big for us.
It's big for someone like Ben and I, too. I mean, we're novice, as you said. Now it means an awful lot more to us because he's won the first two, obviously. And where do they run the Belmont, Johnny? Where is this?
It's in Elmont, New York.
Okay.
Actually, my buddies were there today, and they were alive for like $60,000 and some big pick, and they missed it.
That's a bummer.
I'm sure they're drinking heavily right now.
Another cool thing that I thought, I mean, there are so many tidbits about this race tomorrow. Johnny Love, horse handicapper from the Star Tribune. We love having you on the show, a friend of the show. American Pharoah has previously defeated every horse expected to participate in the Belmont Stakes at some point this year. And then a Triple Crown winner has never won or has never defeated more than seven horses in the Belmont Stakes. So all of these, when you think about all these stats or all these little tidbits going into the Belmont tomorrow, they just continue to be in American Pharoah's favor.
They do, you know, in the 70s when Secretary at Seattle slew and the firm won, they were facing the same horses. So there's a lot of people, I don't know if you remember last year's owner of California Crown, he was kind of boo-hooing after 16 beers after the race about the new shooters.
Right.
And he started shaking his wife or whatever he did. You know, and there's a lot, I don't think that's not a big deal to me. I mean, this is part of the game. I was trying to compare what other sporting event or individual even compares to what this horse could do, you know, winning three classic races like this in 5 weeks, and I really can't. It's that big of a deal, especially when you're going against new shooters. So that's what makes it exciting, and I don't, you know, if he loses tomorrow, he loses. I don't see the Zayas complaining about it. It's been a good run, but I think this is a special horse, like I said earlier, and I think he has the possibility to pull off something special.
Well, now you said it might rain. There's a good chance that it may rain out there. Do you know what the percent chance is of rain? Because you said it absolutely increases American Pharoah's chances significantly of winning this race. But what's the chance of rain tomorrow?
Well, it's funny. I just checked my weather app before I came out. It said 40%.
Well,
40%.
Okay. Well,
40% is okay because my friend Rudy just stopped in here. 40%. If there's a 40% chance at rain, if it's more than 40%, I'm not riding my motorcycle to work that day. If it's 40% or lower, I'm riding. I'll take my chances.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that there's probably a good chance that it could be dry tomorrow.
Absolutely.
But Johnny Love, the horse handicapper for the Star Tribune, let's talk about some of the horses that could give American Pharoah some problems tomorrow at the Belmont. Obviously, Frosted is one of the heavy favorites, too. He placed fourth place in the Kentucky Derby. There's Materiality as well. Any of those guys concern you, or is there another horse that I'm not mentioning as well?
Well, I think Materiality has a great post on the outside. I think he's the one that's going to sit closest to American Pharoah. He'll be stalking, kind of escorting the pace, and he'll get first crack at American Pharoah, you know, with that furlong left. I don't think he has enough to do it. As far as Frosted, I think Frosted's a great horse. And both those horses had, you know, contaminated trips in the Kentucky Derby. Geez, you know, one was mugged at the break and the other was maneuvering through traffic. But my problem with Frosted, he's going to roll late. He's going to come flying from the clouds. I just don't know if there's enough pace for him to make it. He can do the distance of all the horses in the race. This is the one that's prepped for the distance. I don't know if there's enough pace for him to catch American Pharoah. I think it's the outside horse. Is it a horse called Keen Ice, the 7 horse? He's going to be big odds, 26-1. He could be your wise guy horse.
So it's a mile and a half here at Belmont. And that is, how significant